Ladies and gentlemen, it's about time to start the James Whale radio show. So if you're all comfortable, wherever you happen to be, whatever you're doing, on a mountain, in a tree, sitting behind your desk, in a motor car, wherever you are, on the bus, on the train, cycling, shall we begin? Why don't we then? Ladies and gentlemen, the James Whale radio show. So good afternoon, good evening, good morning, good day. Got a couple of listeners in Australia, don't we, Rob?
We do. We have at least one that I know of.
Yeah. So it's Worldwide Whale today.
Is it?
Yeah, the award-winning, actually, we can introduce the program by the award-winning James Whale radio show, who we did very well at the Radio Awards, didn't we?
Last week we did, yes.
Yep. That won every category.
That we were in, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we were in every category. So that's it, really. Now, one of the things I mentioned on the program last week, it's always nice to know where our listeners are. And so we've had a few postcards in this week, which are up on the website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk. We've got a video of from Gary Stewart, who's up on a mountaintop, cue for a song. In a hot tub. Looks quite good, actually, Gary.
It does look. It looks very cold once you get out the hot tub.
Yeah. And Gary, can you send us more pictures and more information about that? That would be nice, wouldn't it?
And other people in the hot tub.
Yeah, maybe somebody else other than you in the hot tub. Not that we don't want to see you, Gary.
Do we not?
But it might be nice to have somebody else in there. Sorry, Rob, are you okay, Rob? Is there something wrong in your part of the studio or not?
No, I'm fine. I'm a happy mood this week. Very happy mood.
Good. Yeah. You sounded as slightly more vacant than normal.
No, I'm in.
Good. Okay. Denny and Maxine in Sri Lanka. Very nice. I didn't know people were still going to Sri Lanka, but there we are.
Well, they are.
Yeah. Paul Hullett. Reading Almost a Celebrity and listening to the show half-time at Manchester City Grounds. Oh, good one, Paul. So there's a selection. If you would like to send me a photograph, even better, send us a video of what you're doing while you're listening to the show. That will be a lot of fun. And people can go on our website. They can look at that, can't they, Rob?
They're on the website and they're also on the Facebook page.
Yeah. So go and have a look there. Facebook, of course, is available. And you can email them to us, jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. Or you can send them on Facebook, couldn't they?
Yep.
And we will include mentions on the show. So well done, Gary Stewart, Denny and Maxine in Sri Lanka, and Paul Hullett, who is listening to the show, reading Almost a Celebrity during halftime at Manchester City. Well, think how much better your health is going to be not having a pie when I think about it.
You all right?
Yeah, what's wrong?
Nothing.
You keep going quiet for some reason. Is there a real problem? What are you doing?
I'm not doing it. I'll put my fader up a bit. Is that better?
No. Well, if anything, I prefer to hear you sort of in the background and fairly indistinguishable, to be honest.
Okay.
Stop recording for a minute. What's going on here? Because you keep talking over me.
There might be a slight delay then. I'll try not to talk over you.
I should bloody well think so. Whose show is this? There might be a slight delay. Is there?
There may be. This is working so far.
Okay. Right. So anyway, send them in and that would be good. What's going on in your world this week? Well, there we are. The problem is Sunday trading, isn't there? I can't believe it. I can't believe that we still have in this country archaic laws that tell people when they can and cannot open their business. And it's pretty rich, isn't it? The Scottish National Party voting against proposals to allow businesses to open when they want, when they can do just that in Scotland. I think that's really quite strange, to be honest with you, but there we are. And who, listen, you don't have to work on a Sunday. Nobody forces you to work on a Sunday, as far as I know. And even if you do work on a Sunday, then you've got another day off in the week, haven't you? You know, it's only people like me and Rob who work 7 days a week, and that's because we're greedy and we, you know, we can't make enough money doing it any other way. So I'm just going to move my microphone cable, which is my headphone cable, which is banging on the microphone. So I don't understand why anybody should be worried. And they'll go, oh, well, it's all about family life. Well, that's a complete nutter rubbish for a start. What do you mean it's all about family life? If I take my family to the supermarket, then we're all doing it together on a Sunday because, you know, I might not be working. Oh, but you can't go to church. Well, most of us don't go to church. Most of us in this country don't follow a religion. You know, most of us don't. It's a secular country. So I don't understand why we have got these archaic laws on a Sunday. So we put it out on Facebook, Rob, I think.
We did.
And some of the responses we got, what I said was Sunday trading is not restricted in Scotland, but the SNP wants to vote for continued restriction in England and Wales. What do you think? This was before the vote. The vote has happened. And of course, those people who wanted to open bigger shops and stores on a Sunday can't. It just seems ridiculous. Jason Flood said, I think they shouldn't have a vote on stuff that doesn't concern them. It's a very good point, I suppose. Teresa Shishton says, as somebody who works Sundays, I'd be very happy to see a ban. We don't have to work on a Sunday, Teresa, do you? If you do, explain why. Fraser Ramsey says, typical SNP, if it's not to be voted for, it should cover the whole UK. So since it is just England, SNP should not have a say. We, Jimmy Cranky, as a leader. Paul Mungall, reason for that, James, is because in Scotland, as it stands, people in Scotland are protected as they get paid double time in Scotland on a Sunday. If the Tories got their way, that would stop and people in Scotland would only get paid single time. As it stands, if England reject this, then the people who do work in England will get paid double time as it is at the moment. So if you want to protect workers in both Scotland and England, it needs to be rejected. Hope that explains the issue to you. Thank you very much indeed. My point, of course, is if you work 7 days a week, that's your choice to do it. If you're forced, if anybody is forced to do it, nobody can work 7 days a week. If you're forced to, you know, some of us choose to work 7 days a week. Some of us might work 4 days a week, 3 days a week, or whatever you want to do. But what I find difficult is being told by other people what I should do. I should be able to decide that, surely. And if I run a business, however big the business is, if I want to open on a Sunday or a Monday or whatever day I want to open, that's why I can't understand licensing laws are so archaic. Leave it to the individuals who run the restaurants and the pubs and whatever, and they can decide when they want to open their businesses. It's just balmy, isn't it? Or am I wrong? Am I wrong? Do we all need protecting from ourselves? JamesWellRadio@gmail.com. Get on, let me know what you think. Lorna says, we who work in retail work long enough now, and through Christmas as well, we have to have some family time. Well, you talk, Lorna, I worked in retail when I first left school. You know, if you worked on a Saturday morning or if you work on a Sunday, you get time off in lieu. You might even get more money. And you know, the one thing that always occurred to me when I was working, and now I do a regular radio show on a Saturday anyway, for the BBC. And it's a different, so it's not like working in the week. It's a different sort of atmosphere working at weekends. Robbo's got a shop. And you pop in and work on a weekend?
I work every Saturday, yes.
And isn't that different to the way it is at the weekends?
Yeah, because I'm all on my own.
Yeah, and it's got a different vibe, hasn't it?
Yeah, I like it.
Do you?
Yeah.
I mean, I like working on weekends. And if you want to take a weekend off, you take a weekend off. You say, look, I need some time off. I'd like to have a few days off. And most employers, with the right amount of time, will accommodate. Unless there's some really miserable people out there that I have not met. Mark O'Neill says, I'm glad that the SNP and the various other MPs who opposed the bill have stuck to their guns. People didn't want it. And now the government has to hear. Who didn't want it, mate? If you worked on my radio station here at jamesworldradio.co.uk, and I said, look, Mark, you're coming to work. I need you to work on a Sunday, mate. And you say, oh, I don't want to work on a Sunday. I want to be at home with my family. I said, well, you're going to have to work a bit on a Sunday. You get paid more for it. I don't understand. I really don't understand why everybody wants to tell everybody else what to do. You don't have to work on a Sunday. Or am I being a bit silly about this? Peter Stein says, we live in a crazy society. Of course, Sainsbury's should be allowed to open after 4 on a Sunday. Jesus wouldn't care. He was Jewish anyway, and he'd be more worried about Saturday opening. The whole thing is crazy. That's an interesting religious point. Can anybody answer that one for me?
I can't.
I can't either. Peter, that's a really good one. Jesus wouldn't care. He was Jewish anyway, and he'd be more worried about Saturday opening. The whole thing's crazy. That's a very good point, isn't it? Mm. Muslims don't like working on a Friday. Jews don't like working on a Saturday. Christians don't like working on a Sunday. If there were loads of religious people around, we'd never get anything done, would we?
We'd only be able to work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah, and then I might start another religion that says we've got to have Wednesday off.
Yeah, I don't like Wednesdays. Can we do that?
Yeah. Whale Wednesday.
Whale Wednesday. That's a good
whale
one.
Whale Wednesday. Yeah, Whale Wednesday. Jeff Mason says, I remember as a kid back in the 60s, 70s, long before supermarkets came about, when our local shop used to close at 6 p.m. on a Saturday and didn't open again until Monday morning at 9. Yet none of us died because of this. Everything these days resolves around shopping. Even at Christmas, they only close for one day. Honestly, folks, you won't die if the shops close for one day. See, Jeff Mason, I don't understand you. I don't understand people who have that thought. And of course no one's going to die. What a bloody stupid thing to say anyway. Of course nobody's going to die. But the point is this, my friend. The point is this. If somebody wants to open a business, then why should somebody stop? This is all about control. And I don't understand. If I wanted to open a business on a Sunday, then I should be able to do it. I'll find people to work for me. I'll open the business on a Sunday. If it doesn't make any money, then obviously I'll close it. But why do I need Jeff or Peter or anyone else telling me, well, you know, you shouldn't open. Why shouldn't I open? Sunday isn't a special day to me. It's another day. As long as you get some time off to spend with your loved ones, walk the dog, much more important, then that's fine. What is it about Sunday? Why is it that Sunday is the day that gets everybody going? And nobody's answered my point. Paul Jellicoe says, the problem is that the current economic state means that days like bank holiday Mondays and Christmas Eve are just seen as other working days. 9 to 5 barely exists. And we can either take it or leave it. I am not fussed either way, but I guarantee the working man won't yield the rewards. Well, you know, it's a question of yielding the rewards. I suppose you will if you keep being employed. It's difficult enough to run a business, isn't it, these days? We don't see that many small independents. And I know some of them will say, well, if you let big supermarkets open all day on a weekend, then it's going to kill the small shops. Listen, even if the supermarkets weren't open at all, lots of small shops wouldn't open. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. And quite often it's based around the individual religious views of the people who operate the businesses. And I don't, you know, it's all down to religion, which is a small minority of the people of this country. If I want to go out and buy a bottle of wine after 4 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, why should somebody be able to tell me I can't? If I want to open my business on every day, any day of the year, whether it's a religious holiday or not, I ought to be allowed to do it. You don't have to work for me. You don't have to be a customer. But what is the problem? Can anybody please explain to me, because I'm not getting it, why this, in the world we live in, should even be an issue? Can anybody tell me? Hands up. Anyone? Nobody. You see, I knew, you know, whilst we watch pictures of children being tear gassed, a small boy crying in the middle of a bunch of razor wire, whilst there are still children, families drowning in the Mediterranean, and still the bloody leaders, I'm sorry, I'm swearing a lot today, why the leaders of the world seem to be unable to stop this humanitarian catastrophe that's going on in the Middle East. You know, and we sit there, oh, you're going to send them back, we're going to send the Royal Navy there to deter people from coming. These people are so desperate. Never mind about the smugglers. Forget the smugglers for a moment. If the smugglers weren't there, some of them would be trying to swim. They'd be getting on pallets. They'd be getting on rafts. They are being blown up. They are being tortured. They're being murdered. They're watching their wives and their children being gunned down in front of them. Of course they're going to try and escape. And why aren't we trying to help and look after them? Why isn't this foremost in our minds? Instead, we're worrying about whether you can go and buy a pint of milk. Look, that shouldn't even be a discussion in Parliament. It shouldn't even be a discussion. Your thoughts? Email me. Get on the phone. Email me and we'll include them in the next program. JamesWhaleRadio@gmail.com. JamesWhaleRadio@gmail.com. I'm quite angry about the whole thing. Real first world problems. You know, here we are. We don't really have anything to worry about at the moment in this country. But whilst other countries are falling apart and people are finding it difficult to exist, we're worried about whether a shop opens on a Sunday or not. And we're getting all heated that some shop should open on a Sunday. You know, leave people to run their businesses the way they want to run them. Or am I wrong? If I am wrong, tell me. You can get in touch, JamesWhaleRadio@gmail.com. Check out the website. Give them the address of the website, Rob.
It is jameswhaleradio.co.uk.
That was your best radio voice, wasn't it?
That's my only voice.
Yeah, you put it on. jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. What did you say?
jameswhaleradio.co.uk.
All right, okay. jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Check out the website. See the video from Gary sitting on the mountaintop listening to the program. It's going to be flipping cold. You're going to freeze your bits off there. Go to our shop. Check out everything on the website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Time to say hello to those of you listening to us on your favourite online radio station and some of your smaller DAB radio. We're on some DAB and FM radio stations I hear now as well.
Community ones, yes, I think.
Yeah, okay. So if you want to take the programme, all you've got to do is get in touch with us at the address here, jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. Now, Shall we do our interview with young Mr. James?
Oh, yes, Mr.
Because,
James.
Because I did promise we're going to have some porn on the programme, didn't I?
Yes, I've been watching loads this week.
Have you?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think that's a very good idea. I think we ought to have as much porn on the programme as we can have. And if you are of a delicate disposition, you may not want to listen to this. It may upset you. So anyway, head of all this posh porn is a guy called James Constantinou. And you may not know the name, but you probably have seen it. It's a program on Channel 4, and I've become addicted to it. And so is Robbo, which is even stranger, because we don't have the same taste in anything.
I have to watch it late night, though.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I watch it in the afternoons, of course, which is probably even more decadent. So we put in a call to, well, I think you could call him the King of Porn, couldn't you?
I think he could claim that title, yes.
Yeah. So, and this is what he had to say to me.
Sitting in my room and I'm on my own. It's cold outside and I'm feeling alone. So I turn that dial and my radio's on. I hear James Whale and my troubles are gone. I hear James Whale on the radio. I hear James Whale and his podcast show. I hear James Whale on the radio.
Now, Robbo, if you you call that number, because I have been promising people a bit of porn on the program today, we should be able to talk to a gentleman who's very much involved in the porn business, okay?
Okay, I'll do that now.
Good, good.
By ringing them.
I can hear that. It's a telephone. James.
Yes, James. How are you?
Yes, James. I'm such a big fan of your programme. What can I tell you?
Well, you can tell me anything you like. I'm here to listen.
Well, so much so that I watched last night and you were on this electric bicycle.
Yes, that's right. Well, he's a mad inventor. I mean, he's a great guy. He works from his mum's shed. He's passionate about what he does. And quite often we get presented with these weird and wonderful things.
Yeah, but what I want to know is, because you went down there, you had a ride on it. Was it as good as you said it was?
It was probably better than what I said it was, to be quite honest with you. I understate things usually, but I mean, that bike was phenomenal. It whizzed along. The guy was, if you saw the show, he was passionate about what he did. He made it out of spatulas and kitchen equipment that he bought from the DIY shop. I mean, it was incredible bit of kit. And it's funny, because this morning I got into work after the show's been aired, and I've had about 15 calls, where can I buy one of those? So I've just forwarded the numbers onto Dave Evans, the inventor, and I should imagine he's pretty busy this morning.
Well, I was going to say, I would have thought you'd be more interested in buying into the business than his rather rubbishy painting and the guitar, which looked as if it wasn't really worth much.
Well, to be honest with you, yeah, the bike was, I was sidetracked slightly by the bike, I must admit. I mean, the painting didn't do a lot for me. I referred to it as a damn patch, but in fact, I'd actually seen better damn patches than that. The bike was what it was all about. And when I heard about this guy, who's actually a local fella from down in Weybridge, where we're from. Most of the guys are at Prestige, and that's where we started. So I was very keen to get down there and give it a go, and it was an amazing bit of kit.
If you get them, let me know, because I'd like one too.
You'll have to join the back of the queue, James. I mean, the phone's been ringing off the walls this morning for inquiries about electric bikes.
I mean, much as I hate cyclists, that would give me great pleasure to dress up in the Lycra and beat the what's it out of them.
Well, if you are going to become a cyclist, what better way than to do it than with an electric bike that does 45 miles an hour?
No, absolutely. Now, listen, let's talk about how you got started. Posh Porn, which is such a great... I wish I'd nicked that name for a television show myself back in the 90s. That would have been acceptable, perhaps not now. But you're not originally a pawnbroker, are you?
Well, not really. I mean, my background was classic cars, and then I went into property development. That's really where... I've been a bit of an entrepreneur through my 20s and 30s, and when I was scratching around looking for something to do in the 2008, when it all crashed and the markets crashed, I was lucky enough to sort of cash out of the property side of it, and I came out relatively unscathed, and was looking for something that I could get my teeth into. And pawnbroking sort of just, it was almost like a light bulb moment for me. I was reading an article about assets, and I was thinking about pawnbroking. I thought, hold on a minute, there's a little bit of a gap in the market here. No one's really doing it at the high end. Why not get involved? And I was lucky enough to have friends and associates of my family that could help me with some of the assets, like the wine and the art. So that's really how it began, to be honest with you.
It's not really a traditional pawnbroker's, is it?
It's not traditional in the, you know, not really, not in the conventional sense. I mean, people think about those sort of Dickensian type imagery, you know, bits of gold, and it's a far cry from that, I must say. I'm just looking at my screen now. I've got a 200 grand Lamborghini that needs appraising. That's come up on my screen. we've got some Lowry works of art at the front. I'm sitting next to a Banksy. We've got bits and pieces around us, and it's not, I must say, it's not all that. I mean, the guys at the front have got a 500 quid watch they're looking at the moment. So, but it's so varied. It's very interesting from my point of view to have all these different assets, and you really don't know what is coming through the door at any one time.
So how do you make the money? I wish I'd been a businessman. How do you make the money out of it? So somebody, I saw a bloke wanted to raise some money off a Mercedes, a soft-top Mercedes the other day.
Yeah.
And well, I just happened to have one in my garage, actually.
Well, we'll get it down to it. Basically, we get presented, people, you know, the banks really have pulled the rug from under people's feet in terms of just popping down. And like the good old days, you used to pop down the bank, draw £1,000 out. You may have been a bit overdrawn, but your bank manager was all right with it. Those days are long gone. People are now turning to their assets, and they can look at their cars, wine, art, whatever they've got, watches, rings, They bring them down to us, we'll appraise them, and we'll lend a percentage of their market value. It couldn't be simpler. And basically, they pay for what they use. If they have the loan for 1 month, they'll pay. If they want to redeem and come back and collect their goods in 1 month, they'll pay 1 month's worth of interest. That's one side of the business. The other side is, if they want to dump out of their goods and they don't no longer interested in them, we'll buy them. So there's two sort of sides to the business, really.
So you'll buy something if you think you can shift it.
I'll buy anything if I think I can move it on. I mean, if there's people out there who want to look at the e-shop, it's on our website at the top. They can click on there. They can see all the second-hand items and uncollected goods on there, a fraction of the retail costs, really, retail prices. And it's going really well. I mean, it's booming. We really are, because we buy some unusual stuff and there's not many people buying at the moment, we do get presented with a lot of stuff and we buy it right, and I think we sell it right as well, the right figure.
What's the most unusual or best deal you've got on there at the moment?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I think diamonds are, you can buy some brilliant diamonds at discounted prices at the moment. Because they're such a luxury item, you can buy something that may retail at like 120 grand. You might get it for 30, 40,000 from our site. But we've had some really unusual stuff as well. It's not all about the bling. We've had Queen Victoria's underwear presented to us. We've had Moon Rock presented to us. We've had all sorts of stuff presented to us. So, you know, but they're really, it's a great time to be, if you've got the money, and to be honest with you, there's not many people out there that have. If you've got the money, if you want to buy something of quality, and it's a great time to invest in something, you know, that, especially jewellery-wise, because it's levelled out at the moment and it's at the bottom. It could only really go up in the coming years.
Well, that's depressing me. I've got a bit of gold. Is that worth anything at the moment or not?
Bring it down. We've had teeth brought into us. You know, I've had people put their molars through the scoop at the front and say, "Can you value them with bits of gold in them?" So, yeah, that's an option. If you've got any fillings, pop in.
So you're in Weybury. You started off in Weybury, so that's where all the people. My friend Theopathetus. You probably know, he's probably a neighbour of yours.
Well, he's not. I think he's, is he Weybridge? He's over that neck of the woods. Yeah. So I haven't actually bumped into him personally, but I don't suppose he's had much call to come and see me, but you never know.
Well, listen, he's got lots of stuff hanging around, so you never
sure
know.
Yes.
What about those people who come in and they are very, very desperate? And because you see, you try and play the part of the tough guy, a bit of a lad, all that sort of thing. But I think you're a bit soft, really, aren't you?
There is a rumour that I'm a bit soft. I mean, I don't know if that comes across on the show, but look, when you can't help but really get emotionally involved in some of these clients that come in. You know, we've had people coming in and saying that we had one this week actually, and. It's been featured on the program that will go out in July, and unfortunately, this woman's mother had died, and she's looking for to raise some capital to bury her mother. So it's really difficult when you're sitting there and you're trying to appraise someone's goods, not to actually think about their situation and to somehow get emotionally involved. And at times, you will overlend or maybe even overpay for something because of the story. You know, I wrap my my colleagues, I wrap them on the knuckles when they do it, but it's very difficult not to do it. I've done it myself on many occasions.
I've got here in my office, which is where I record this show, this is a cricket ball, a white cricket ball from a 2020 cricket match. Essex playing, I can't remember who they were playing now, but there were some top cricketers, and Mrs. W was with me, and she does like a drink. It has to be said. And so the ball came over towards her. She kept it and put it in her bag.
Right. And you want to cash that in, do you?
Well, I don't know. It's a white cricket. It was fairly scruffed. It was used. It's a white cricket ball.
Yeah.
And I've got it on the bookshelf here. I don't know why, really. So something like that. Has it got any worth?
Well, it might. Is it signed or is it just a cricket
no,
ball?
No, it's. I should get it signed by somebody, shouldn't I, really?
Well, get a good signature on it and then bring it into us. I don't think it's got any merit as it is, to be honest with you. We need provenance with stuff as well. That's the one side of the business as well that people may not see a lot of. When you bring these things into us, you need the paperwork to substantiate the story that goes behind it. Saying you found it in the loft or you picked it up on a cricket field, it doesn't really stack up in terms of trying to value something. But we've been presented with some stuff, and if you get the right paperwork with it, you can get good figures for memorabilia or works of art or whatever you're trying to sell or dispose of or borrow against. But it must be accompanied with the right paperwork.
Over the years, I've interviewed some interesting people, and when they've had books out, I've always got them to sign a book to me. They must have done it to hundreds of people, probably, although you never know. Some of those might be worth a few bob.
Well, they might be. I mean, to be honest with you, it's about the numbers, I think, with signatures. It's not my specialised field. Lawrence, who's in the office, he deals with all that stuff. But I do know that if someone isn't used to signing and hasn't done a lot of signing, and if they've passed away especially, then their signature can be worth a hell of a lot of money. Thousands and thousands of pounds. If it was someone who signed a lot, you know, they felt very comfortable and they spoke to their fans and signed almost everywhere they went, and there's a lot on the marketplace, they can be worth 20, 30 quid. It really depends on who it is and how much signing they did.
I've just thought, I've got a couple of things. I've got a signed letter from Tony Benn. You remember Tony Benn, the politician?
Yep, I remember him.
A letter that he wrote to me after an interview, handwritten letter. Signed on House of Commons notepaper.
Well, that sounds quite interesting. I mean, I'm not Tony Benn hasn't been around for a few years, but give it another few years, and never know, it might be worth something. I mean, it's probably got some value now, but it can only go up. That's a good thing. Put it in your bottom drawer. Give it to your children if you've got kids, and maybe in another 50 years' time, it might be worth a small fortune.
So have you got a website where people can go on? I'm just thinking, I've got a couple of £20 notes signed by the lead singer of AC/DC, Brian Johnson, who I like to think I got in the job with AC/DC back in the 70s. And I've got the provenance, whatever it is.
You've got something like that. That might be good. I mean, I'm surprised you gave someone a 20 and they gave you a voucher. It would run off into the crowd, but... If you go to, Prestige Pawnbrokers at the top, says eShop, click on that. There's plenty of items on there. We've got motorbikes, aeroplanes, jewellery, watches, cards, all sorts of stuff on there at the moment. So there's a lot of stuff on there, some interesting items. And I think if anyone knows their, especially the jewellery side of it, they'll see it's a fraction of the retail money. So, go on there and spend away.
You like things like, have you got a yacht on there, did you say, at the moment?
Well, I think the yacht's been loaded up on there, actually. I think one of the guys was playing. We've got a £500,000 yacht we're dealing with at the moment. And I said, get the images up there. So if it's not on there today, it'll be on within the coming days. We've got a Tiger Moth aeroplane we're dealing with the sale of at the moment that was featured on the show a couple of weeks ago. The sale hasn't gone through, so we're trying to dispose of that for a client. We're testing out a Spitfire in a few weeks' time. So, we do get presented with some weird and wonderful things. If there's anyone out there looking for anything in particular, they can always email us and we'll keep an eye open for it. We don't always advertise everything that we've got on the eShop, but most of our stock does end up on there.
And how did the TV show come about? Did the because of the American one? Had you ever seen the American one, by the way, or not?
Yeah, the Americans have got quite a few, actually. I mean, it was bigger over there than it was, that's where it really, I think maybe the Channel 4 got their ideas from in terms of producing the show. Channel 4 were looking to produce a show on alternative lending, and they sent a guy down to us. He was actually a journalist, and he was set the task of finding a pawnbroker that was got to be of interest to the public, and he came down and sat with us, and we were thinking, well, is this going to be good for business or not? And we put our trust in them, and I think they've done a brilliant job on the way they present it and the way it's cut and edited. It's a true representation of what goes on here on a daily basis, and I'm amazed that it's been received so well and people find it so fascinating. But really, when I look at it and I realise the sort of clients we get in and some of the unusual stuff we do see, I realise that, it is of interest to the public.
And it's turned you into a celebrity, James.
Well, so I'm told anyway. I try, I'm not, that's one side of it. I wasn't looking forward to too much. I'm quite...
Mrs. W tells me you're fairly hot.
Does she now?
And I love the character who does the jewellery. What's his name?
Oh, Ian Towning.
Yeah, he's a character.
Well, he's hot. I mean, let's face it, he's hot. But Ian's a lovely guy. He knows his stuff. He deals with all these sort of antique jewellery that, most of it we sort of... that we need a second opinion on. We've got a few experts, and he's one of our experts, and we'll ping it over to him. He'll give us his opinion on it if it's unusual. And he's great for TV. The audience love him. And, he's larger than life, so he's a great character in the show.
Well, listen, James, thank you very much indeed, and I'll be coming down. I'll bring a wheelbarrow full of my stuff before long. And who knows? We might be able to get you to come and do a few more appraisals for us.
You never know, James.
Thank you very much indeed. He's a gent, and if you haven't seen it, Posh Porn, Channel 4, and it's on usually, I think it's a Wednesday evening, and it's repeated on lots of the other Channel 4 Plus 1 and or Channel 4 whatever, all those channels. It's really, I don't know why, but I find it strangely therapeutic to sit down there and watch all these people trying to borrow money off him. So thank you to James very much indeed. Now, last week on one of my radio programs, I met a young man called Harry Gardner. Now, let me tell you about Harry. I was told by not Robbo, but another priest. I was told, well, you should have a listen to this. James, I think you'll like it. And I said, what is it? Well, a young lad, he's 15. He's written a song about his nan who's got Alzheimer's. And I could just hear all the radios turning off while we were doing it. And I said, no, oh, for goodness. No. And in the end, I went into the show and it was still in the running order. And I said, do you really think this is going to be of any interest to people? And they said to me, have you not listened to the song? I said, no, I don't want to listen to a youngster singing about his gran. I really don't. It's very sad, but I don't think it's going to really be good on the radio, is it? Young Harry Gardner was wheeled into the studio, and he was a really, really pleasant, interesting and entertaining guy. And so I said, well, tell me about this. He said, well, my nan has got Alzheimer's, and I just watched her. And this is a guy of 15, and I've just watched her getting iller and iller. And he said, and I write music, and I decided I had to write a song about my nan getting Alzheimer's, and I just want to raise awareness of people about this terrible disease, because, you know, a lot of young people are affected because it's their parents and grandparents who get it. And he said, no, I just wanted to do this, and we're hoping to raise some money and raise awareness for Alzheimer's. And I thought, okay, well, and I hadn't heard the record. And then we played the record, and I have to say, my mouth dropped open, because not only does this young guy, Harry Gardner, have a voice, one of those voices that actually invites people you feel a connection with him. But the words of the song, Not Alone, are amazing. So I'd like to play it on the program now. And you can download this. You can go to iTunes and all the usual places and you can get a hold of this song. Harry Gardner. And the video's there. We've got the video online as well.
The video, yeah, you had it on your Facebook page the other day, so it's probably still there.
Can we grab it off there and put it on our website?
Yep, we'll put a link on it, yep.
Okay. So have a look at the video as well, but listen to the song, and particularly listen to the words. If you have a relative or a friend who is suffering with any form of dementia, I think this will actually resonate with you. This is Harry Gardner, and Not Alone.
Tell me what you see. Am I among the forgotten? Please say you remember me. In a room where light hides behind the curtains. In a bed where you're lost in a dream. In a time the world is full of darkness. In a house that doesn't suit quiet and peace. We know you're there, somewhere inside. I say a prayer for you to smile. Looks like the angels only one today. But I stay strong and I won't be long till I see the old days. Open your eyes and say hello. Open your mind and just let go. Tell me to get the remote so we can watch your favourite show. And ruffle my hair and say it's bad. And tell me there's chocolate in your handbag. And tell me just how much I've grown. And let me know I'm not alone. It happened too fast. I find it all so strange. I never knew that this could happen. I blinked once and everything had changed. I remember when you'd come around to see us, and you'd always have the same cup for your tea. That cup sits on the shelf now, waiting for the day you come back to me. Oh, we understand good things don't last, but I'd give anything just to hear you laugh. Looks like the angels owe me one today. But I stay strong, I know it won't be long till we see the old days. Open your eyes and say hello. Open your mind and just let go. Tell me to get the remote so we can watch your favourite show. And ruffle my hair and say it's bad. And tell me there's chocolate in your handbag. And tell me just how much I've grown. And let me know I'm not alone. Understand how a precious memory can fade away. But I'm not worried about that, cause I know you're in good hands and you are safe. Just let go. Tell me to get the remote so we can watch your favourite show. And ruffle my hair and say it's bad. And tell me there's chocolate in your handbag. Tell me just how much I've grown. And let me know I'm not alone. And let me know I'm not alone. And let me know.
There we are. That was Harry Garland. It's a brilliant song, isn't it?
I like it. I like it a lot.
It's a brilliant song. Brilliant song, indeed. Now, is we were going to do is leaving the EU the biggest risk to stability or just another bit of scaremongering? In fact, scaremongering. Should we do that? We put this question out. Everybody's talking about the referendum, but just interestingly, I thought it would be interesting and informative just from between now and the referendum to occasionally talk about some of the questions that seem to be put out by both sides. So one of the questions is, over the last week or so, is leaving the EU, we're being told, on those who want us to think about staying in. Yeah, leaving, is it the biggest risk to stability or not? Andy says it's scaremongering. There's plenty of other countries that do very well outside of Europe. Plus, we ain't leaving Europe. People need to understand it's just the judicial policy and financial system we would leave. We will still have our European holidays, city breaks with no issues. But we won't have the European meddling and we'll be able to control immigration. Somebody's got to actually explain to me, Andy, how we can control immigration more than we do at the moment, because people go on and on and on about immigration. I don't think anybody actually understands it. They talk about people who come here as benefit scroungers. There are very few and far between, if any. Then they go on about illegal immigrants. Well, you don't know nobody knows who is here illegally. There is nobody who has an idea. They hazard a guess, but nobody knows. And that isn't going to stop. It doesn't make any difference. Neil Colley says, can't be any worse than it already is. Chris Manic Monday says, I'd say staying is the bigger risk. Michael Deegan says, scaremongering. And lots of you seem to agree with it. It is scaremongering. And I must say that I am amazed that there seems to be oh dear, do you know I keep touching buttons on my laptop and moving stuff around. It seems that there are lots of people who want to promote leaving the European Union, and very few that seem to want to talk about getting in. Tracy Ann says, we're voting to get out. It will just get worse here if we don't get our independence back. I think everybody's thinking about, you know, immigration, and everybody's got this down to a story. It's not just about immigration, is it? We need to consider all sorts of other things that hopefully the politicians and the people who know better than us are going to explain to us between now and the 23rd of July, so that we can actually have an I don't feel at the moment I'm informed enough to make a decision as to whether we should leave or stay in the European Union. I just don't think I have the knowledge to know whether it's better or worse leaving or staying in the European Union. And I think people get very heated about it, and they get very sort of passionate about it. And some people seem to think, let's put the great back in Britain. And I don't know. I have to be honest with you. I'd like to hear more balanced discussion and debate about the pros and cons of being involved or not being involved. And I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. Actually, let's put that out for next week. Okay. Do you feel you are getting enough information about the European Union referendum? Let's put that out and see what sort of response we get. Shall we do that?
We'll do that, yes.
Okay, good. So there we are. Listen, don't forget, check out the website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk. You can see I'm very proud. My interview from sort of 20 years ago with Spike Milligan, if you haven't seen that, that is there. There are well over 100 hours of programs that you can listen to. Why would you need to go anywhere else?
Indeed.
Yeah. And I do notice that quite a lot of people now jumping on the bandwagon, doing programs online like this one. And welcome. The more the merrier. The more the merrier. We can start our own radio station before we... Radio Whale.
That's not got a nice ring to it.
Radio Whale, yeah. And don't forget, send in your photographs and videos of where you are listening to the program. We had some great ones this week and would like to see some more. Now, time for Tech Talk.
Okay. And are you going to do a jingle?
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, the James Whale Radio Show now presents Rob and his item of technical experience.
Okay. This week, NEC, the brand NEC, have invented some earbuds that knows whose ears they're in. I'm imagining the way it works is like tiny little bats inside the ears, and it sort of sends out sonar, and it echo, and the way it echoes back from your ear canal determines whose ear it is. So they're going to use that as the new security measure. So when you've got your earphones in and you want to go online banking or whatever, it plays a few tones in your ear and it knows if it's you or not.
Do you know what? I want some of those brass balls.
Have you seen 50 Shades of Grey?
No, have you seen? No, I don't know. I have no, but don't, the brass balls. Have you seen those?
No,
or
I haven't.
The beads are apparently quite good. Well, just a friend of mine. I mean, I've got you know, the ear pieces that come with the phones.
Yeah.
But they're never really that good, and they don't stay in your ears anyway.
Yeah, the ones that you have are not very good, no.
Oh, well, why have I got ones that are not very good?
They came with your phone, didn't they? You want the rubbery ones that go in your ear and they stick in your ear.
Yeah, I want. Don't they do brass balls?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You've not seen the brass balls that you little metal balls that you put in your ear that sort of snugly fit in your ear, and apparently music sounds like you're really at the concert. And there are other ones that are called beads that go in your ear.
So you're telling me that when I finish doing this show, if I Google brass balls and beads...
Yeah, and get me some brass balls. That's a good idea. Aren't you selling them in your shop?
You want me to get you some brass balls?
Yeah, I'd like brass balls. I think brass balls would be very nice.
What size?
Well, just normal ball size.
Okay.
What size are your balls?
I haven't got any.
Oh, I heard that. Anyway, fine. Is it probably time to do questions for the whale?
I hope so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so do I. Go on our Facebook page or email jameswhaleradio@gmail.com, jameswhaleradio@gmail.com, if you have questions, because my big boast, of course, is I can answer every question. I'm never short of an answer. And I never, ever lose an argument.
Are you sure?
What?
Okay, should we...
Timing is everything. Okay, go on.
Right. Entertaining questions for the Great Whale this week are Dave Benjamin. Why can't the Americans say the word nuclear and aluminium?
Well, because it's the lazy way in which they talk. Aluminum and what's the other one? Nuclear.
Yeah.
They can't, they have, the Americans have a lot to answer for. And one of the things they have to answer for is the way that they have bastardized the English language. In fact, I don't think we should call it, what they talk is not English, it's American.
Do they know how to pronounce the letter L?
I don't know. No, I don't think they do.
Because every time I watch lots of videos that come from America...
Yeah, they do know how to... Yeah, but go on.
And when they're doing some repair work, electronics, they use solder. Where's the L gone? Solder. I'm just going to...
Oh, you mean solder?
Yeah, where does the L go?
I don't know. I've not heard the solder. Solder. All right. Okay. They've just got a very strange way of talking. Okay, go on.
Andy Eva. Nick Clegg, Michael Gove, which one rang the sun?
Depends which day. I should think they probably ring the sun on alternate days.
I think they're referring to the Queen thing.
I know exactly what they're referring to. And actually, I don't know. They have said no, and the Queen has categorically denied having any view one way or the other and wouldn't express it anyway, which is, of course, as it should be. And somebody somewhere, and I'm not suggesting one way or the other, but somebody somewhere is not telling the truth. I'll just leave that with you. Okay, on you go.
Margaret Holland, do you think it's fair that people who can afford a new car only pay £20 road tax, whereas the people who haven't got much money have to pay £200 plus for road tax? Everybody uses the roads that need repairing. I know people who pay very little that will not agree with me.
Margaret, you pay road tax depending upon how polluting your car is. And to pay only £20 a year, you would have to have a car that was about the size of a matchbox, wouldn't it? One of these tiny little cars that probably can't go faster than walking speed.
Also, if you buy a new car, you're contributing to the economy.
There is that, I suppose, yeah. Yeah. But I mean, older cars pollute more, so therefore we have to pay more to get them on the road, I suppose, Margaret. Okay.
Lynn Johnson. Do we need an umbrella for a baby shower?
No.
Short but sweet. Okay. Johnny Rag. Can dogs look up?
Yeah, of course they can look up. What a ridiculous question, Johnny. Why would you ask such a ridiculous question? Of course they can look up. Look. See?
Well, that was you.
No, that was a dog. One's sitting here beside me.
Oh, are you sure?
Yeah, all right, Shaggy back.
Okay, Bob, and it's the last one now. This is a good question. Bob Atkins. Why, oh, why, oh, why?
Oh, it's an easy one to answer, Bob. Why, oh, why, oh, why, oh, why not? The ball is in your court.
As long as they're brass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, don't forget, get me the brass balls. Yeah, excellent. That's almost it. Thank you very much indeed. Nice to have had the pleasure of your company. Tell your friends, join us, jamesworldradio.co.uk. Get it on your iPads. You can get it on your laptops. You can get it from your radio station. You can even go on my Twitter, on any of our James World Radio Twitter site. You can go on the James Whale, and you can just click the link of the website and you can hear us straight away, can't you?
Indeed you can.
Indeed you can. Get the photographs coming in wherever you happen to be listening to the program. Send them in to us. You can either send them to the Facebook page or you can email them jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. Rob?
Yes, sir?
Bring the car round.
Okay.
You're listening to the James Whale Radio Show. For more information, visit www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on facebook.com/JamesWhaleRadioShow or follow James on Twitter @TheJamesWhale. James Whale, the voice of reason.